So the first paper is Spring Cultivars for Fusarium Resistance in West Texas. And I appreciate a lot of the comments that were made yesterday in the Fusarium workshop. I struggle with the term resistance, especially with the interaction with the nematode. And I think I've taken a different approach to maybe addressing this as far as terminology. So yet another means of terminology to fully confuse everyone in the audience trying to wrap up an idea of terminology with regard to resistance. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Terry Wheeler, there in the back, my research counterpart there at Lubbock. Cotton production in West Texas is an interesting topic. West Texas encompasses a large geographic range, typically the entire western part of the state, the southern high plains. The nice thing about this, with regard to Fusarium wilt, it's not like Verticillium wilt, which is endemic across the region. It's widespread throughout the region. With regard to Fusarium, it's typically restricted to the southern portion of our production region. That makes things a little bit easier with regard to a variety recommendation based on agronomic practices, as well as things like maturity classes and things. So in short, the data you'll see today presented reflects some of the varieties that we're looking at to complement some of the work that Terry's doing on the verticillium side of things. And hats off to her because she covers a much larger geographic range and has a lot more entries to evaluate. Verticillium is a major problem in the region. Fusarium, however, has become more and more widespread, more problematic over the year, the last several years, in those southwestern counties from Lubbock. This star here just illustrates where our research center is, and the counties highlighted in red are those that have the highest probability or chance of seeing Fusarium wilt problems. I won't spend a lot of time talking about the biology of Fusarium, the fungal pathogen of Fusarium oxysporum vas infectum. It is significant. It's much like the H1N1. A lot of people have heard about it, and you're only concerned about it if you have it in your field because it can be devastating. You'll see some images of that in a few minutes. I mentioned that it's distributed south and west of Lubbock, close association with the sandier soils. This disease is spurred in Texas with the presence of the root knot nematode, and that association that we see in those counties south and west does correlate to where we see our highest nematode populations. It's somewhat problematic to manage Fusarium wilt. Nematicides can be effective at reducing disease incidence, but it's an indirect impact on the nematode itself. Chemical options at the current time are non-existent, although we are looking at some experimental products to maybe increase our number of tools in the toolbox. Variety selection, however, is the cornerstone of the disease, any integrated disease management system, and it's about the only thing we can lean on other than nematicides with regard to Fusarium wilt. I'll show a few pictures that illustrate symptom progression in West Texas. Can be easily confused with verticillium in the field. However, typically initial symptoms occur a little bit earlier than verticillium in most cases. Except last year, we saw a late season progression of Fusarium in the area. The initial characteristic is typically this marginal necrosis. You'll see a loss of turgor pressure over time. As the disease progresses, you'll start to see that leak manifest a severe wilt symptom. Again, this is resulting from the disruption of the vascular system, as seen here. Saw a lot of pictures illustrating this yesterday. And again, I want to highlight the fact that to date, some of the preliminary work that we've done looking at characterizing Fusarium isolates, we're solely dependent upon the root knot nematode. We've still got some other analyses to run, but right now I don't have any circumstantial data that indicates that we're looking at any race shift to more aggressive isolates that are capable of causing disease in the absence of the nematode. This is a field shot of represents a couple of fields that we saw just this last fall. Driving down highways and farm market roads throughout the area, you can see a lot of areas with bare ground. Producers typically refer to that as, let's just find poor dirt. We don't know what's going on there. Or that's the dry land situation. Took an opportunity to go out to a couple of these fields and actually dig up some roots. We saw some severe nematode galling. Put those plants back to the lab and consistently recovered Fusarium from those plants. Pathogenicity tests weren't conducted on the isolates that recovered, but I'm pretty confident that we're looking at Fusarium wilt because these fields were all in that region that we discussed earlier. A lot of producers are scratching their heads. They're thinking, well, why is this such a problem? Why are we seeing this? These located areas of disease throughout the field, and it's becoming progressively worse over time. So there's a need for educational programming in the southern high plains of Texas. And the goal of my extension program in the region is to increase producer awareness of fusarium wood. When I got there in 2006, 2007, I was trying to identify fields to conduct these tests in, and a lot of growers said, I have will, come on down without a test. The majority of the fields that I went into were actually verticillium. So there's a disconnect from our consultants to some degree, but more so with our producers about not knowing which causal agent is causing their problems. And ultimately, I want to improve on the education efforts at diagnosing and managing this disease. So we're going to look at, in the future, look at the interactions of some of these newer varieties with regard to nematicides and things. But the current objective for this talk is looking at some of the commercially available cultivars and how they performed the last couple of years. Standard field trials were conducted in 2007, 2008, and 2009. Fields that were known to be infested with FOV had a history of fusarium wilt. Typically, we have a setup where we're looking at 32 varieties per trial with 4 replications. We use a cone planter to plant those, pack the seed, and plant typically mid to early June, maybe mid to late June if we have to replant because of adverse weather such as hailstorms and things. Our check cultivars that are included, you can use resistant or tolerant or susceptible. Or like Steve's analogy yesterday, some are just more susceptible than others. That's a very good adage, and I think our data will illustrate that clearly as well. I took the approach of using a positive control and a negative control. The positive control gets disease, the negative control doesn't get as much disease, I guess. And again, I don't want to define that as true resistance, and you might throw a stone at me for already mislabeling my talk, but when we're looking at the resistance, we're not looking at the mechanism on the fungus. Is it the interaction with the fungus and the nematode? What's being illustrated in the resistance mechanism? We don't know. So we'll just talk about these other things. Some of our data collection, in addition to the wilt symptoms that we see as the disease progresses, we can also get mortality of seedlings, as seen in the upper left-hand corner. We can also see that in conjunction with the wilting on the tips of the margins of the leaves, as seen here. So we don't break our backs bending over examining vascular tissue, but we do have to oftentimes get down our hands and knees and figure out how many plants are there. Is it a dead plant, or is it in the process of dying? All management practices, other than variety selection, are at the discretion of our collaborating producers, who we greatly appreciate. They go out of their way to help us out, and we get very useful information from them working with us. Our stand counts were determined about 30 days after planting. Disease development was monitored throughout the season. We used a modified John Deere 484 stripper to capture yields on plots, translate those to a per acre basis. HBI analysis from grab samples were used to determine loan rates. And then we subject all this data to analysis of variance. And for sake of ease of presentation, we'll show several groups of data today throughout the locations. We're not going to go through the standard slides. So this is how much disease we saw, this is how much yield we gained, and this is where our final net returns were. We're using all these criteria to look at how these varieties perform. And the graphs will be similar, but the content will be different. We'll be looking either at yield, at net return. In some cases, we'll show some disease incidence data. In 2007, typically we have about 32 cultivars that we're looking at. We tried to highlight those in colors with regard to the seed company. So your Delta Pine, Monsantos are green, Stoneville and Fibermax are blue. I do illustrate Stoneville as a light blue just to illustrate some of the consistent results that we're seeing. Maricot is I guess pink. The Altex varieties are in gray. Phytogen is in yellow. And there are a couple others that we'll see on there, like the crop and genetics and things. Looking at our results from our 2007 Terry County site and returns per acre, Delta Pine 174 clearly won that variety crop. It stood alone as an A. The Delta Pine 164, the 143, and the 1880 Fibermax, as well as the Fibermax 23.6, were right there with it in the next B grouping. The interesting thing about Delta Pond 174 Flex is the fact that it has been, it did come to release due to marker resistant selection with root knot, nematode, and moth. So again, I don't think we're looking specifically at I can't say we're looking specifically at a resistance mechanism. I think we're looking at some interaction with the nematodes. A complementary trial conducted in 2007 in Dawson County, looking again at net returns. And for ease of presentation, other statistics, whenever we run these trials, oftentimes our T groupings have multiple letters in our mean separation. So for ease of presentation, the A's with the dashes, everything that's encompassed with an A fell into the AT group. So again, we're looking at Delta Pine 174 was a clear winner at that location if you look at the height of the bar. However, statistically, it didn't separate from all the other 15 varieties that are there. But if we start looking at our ranking analysis, then we're ranking Delta Pine 174 trial in and trial out at number one. And I'm looking to do a much more comprehensive statistical analysis of how we can evaluate these varieties that are present at fewer or more locations, because we do not have a fixed number of entries and observations for the duration of this study. More important, or as important, is looking at what's on the left-hand or right-hand, your right-hand side of that graph. If you look over here on the left-hand, my left-hand, your right-hand. Some of these varieties down here that don't perform as well, that bottom third. Agronomically, those are good varieties, or they wouldn't have made it to the marketplace. We'd like to typically complement what's out there with our agronomists, saying, okay, these are good varieties, they have this agronomic package. They may not be the recommendations we have for these fields. So we'll sum up some of these things we're seeing on my right and my left as to what we consider recommended varieties and some varieties we might want to stay away from and varieties that the producer may want to consider on his own. In 2007, I located a field in Yoakum County that was nuclear. You walk out there and there's more cotton growing on this carpet than there was in the field. It was severely infested with fusarium. Got very excited, made plans to put out 25 acres of small plots, spent 3 days planting it, and our results were very simple. 3 days after we planted this trial, we had a severe wind event. That is not the surface of Mars, that is our trial location. You can't tell where the pivot is actually running. Adverse environmental conditions. Frustrating, easily to summarize. This illustrates the power of multiple locations, multiple years. And cover crops. 2008, Dawson County, we will come back to that site in 2009. I think we still have a home run there, but we'll go through 2008 looking at results. Again, looking at some of the newer varieties like the Stoneville 5458, B2RF, the Delta Pine 174 and 104, and then Stoneville 4554, right there on the upper end of that graph, performing very well in that situation. Again, note that the 174 is consistently doing well. We're also excited about the 5458 because of its improved resistance or tolerance to the root-knot nematode. 104 has also done well. The Stoneville 4554 has been a commercial standard in the region prior to 2007 before I got there. We'll also point out a few things here. One, the Delta Pine 164, which did so well in 2007, did not do well in 2008. Again, illustrating the importance of multiple years, multiple sites. The more observations you can get, the more power you have with your data analysis. Also, the Phytogen 375 wide strike Roundup Ready Flex. I'm going to illustrate that here on this right hand side of the bar, because numerically and statistically it was the worst performing cultivar or variety out there. And that's looking again at pounds of lint. And also, when we look at the same data and we apply loan values, we see similar trends. Some jockeying for position, but overall the trends were similar. Looking at 2008, Gaines County trial results, I believe this trial had a little bit of verticillium wilt. Terry was the PI in this trial. Looking at net returns, though, and in regards to this trial, 174, again, a clear winner. Looking at Stoneville 5458, Stoneville 4554, performing right there in the upper two or three. So consistency, year in and year out. We also see down here at the bottom, 375. 2009, Yoakum County, this is where we had the surface of Mars in 2008. We had a nice variety trial in 2009. The producer bent over backwards to help us out. He actually left out 16 rows in his peanut field so we could have cotton. So he caught a lot of ribbing from his neighbors, because he was the only person in West Texas that had 2.5 acres of cotton plots or cotton plants in the middle of a Spanish peanut field. Here we're actually looking at disease incidence as it relates to this trial. And again, what we can see right here with this T-group below the red bar or the red line, not statistically different. The 5458, the 4288, and the 4498 Stoneville, not statistically different from the 104 Delta Pine, Maricot 1532, or the Delta Pine 174, or the Stoneville 4554. So initially I was a little alarmed, a little concerned about this though, because when we went out and did our initial stand counts, the stands were very sporadic, and I thought, oh great, we've just spent another year at 120 miles from the experiment station, and we're not going to have any harvested data. We actually looked at the stands, and there was great variability and statistical differences among stands. However, it did not influence disease incidence. Some of our best stands had our lowest levels of disease, and some of our best stands had our highest level of disease. So although there were differences that could be a confounding factor, overall, I think it's a pretty solid test. So if we go through our disease incidence data here, you should have seen our stand counts there, which we're not. We're looking at a summary of our lint yields per acre, mean separation, the stone bills there, the 5458, the 4288, and the 4498. Numerically, you see that stair stepping there, followed by the 104, the 5525, the American 1532. So if we look at the stone bill, 4554 and the 174, which were our historical standard recommendations, we have new cultivars, new varieties, they're performing better. And again, we want to highlight this right here. We're actually seeing consistently there at the very end. And that's a pretty good spread. We're looking at basically 100 pounds of lint versus 1,400 pounds of lint. And that's including turnout study. Another trial just up the road from that other location. This is actually in Terry County. We can see again decent lint yields with this moderate level of irrigation. There was a problem with this in the past. However, the producer went to a rotation of peanuts. As a result, the fusarium was present in isolated focal areas in the field, but it wasn't uniform. We didn't pick up significant differences in disease incidence throughout the year, and it was very difficult for us to assess stunting. But we still see a similar trend. Everything under the red line is not statistically different. Our varieties 174 was the 4288 from Stoneville. We varied it consistently there in the left hand, even in the where there's not obvious disease symptoms. Interestingly enough, the 174 or the 375 is also tanking there at the end. So again, 375, a good variety. Agronomically, it's got some good attributes. We probably don't want to put it in a fusarium wilt field. I'll wrap up here with a few slides. Fusarium wilt is destructive in the area, limited geographic distribution allows us the opportunity to really throw a lot of things at it that are adequate in testing. We're looking for our recommendations. We're looking for consistent performance. What does perform consistently well or poor is what we want to focus on. Do we want to put these varieties in? We don't want to put these varieties in. We're looking at appropriate varieties like the Delta 174, the Stoneville 4554, the Delta 143, the Stoneville 5458, the 5554. Those that perform the top 25%. When we do that rank analysis, I think it'll shake out to where we have green varieties and red varieties. Go with the green varieties, stay away from the red varieties, and those yellow varieties, plant at your own risk. A couple slides just to show where you get the data. We post this information on the Lubbock website. You can go to What's New, scroll down, find our fusarium wilt data. There's the extension publication in the PDF format. You can print that, and there's those trials are presented by trial and then summarized in a rank analysis that should be updated this year, this week, or last year for this coming planting season. With that, I'd like to acknowledge the folks on the slide for their funding and their technical support. I'd be happy to answer any questions.